866-DR-WAUKESHA. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the story.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. AM radio gets new life in some new cars as Ford throws a decision into reverse. Jeff Gilbert of affiliate WWJ Detroit.
Ford CEO Jim Farley tweeting that he made the decision after speaking with policy leaders about the importance of AM broadcast radio as part of the emergency alert system. Farley saying AM will be in all 2024 Ford and Lincoln vehicles. He made no commitment after that.
Now to Washington. CBS's Nicole D'Antonio has the latest information on that U-Haul truck that rammed a security gate near the White House.
The incident took place around 10 p.m. at a security barrier at Lafayette Square, which is about a block back from the White House fence. The U.S. citizen from Chesterfield, Missouri, is charged with assault with dangerous weapon, reckless operation of a motor vehicle, and threatening to kill, kidnap, inflict harm on a president, vice president, or family member.
Correspondent Stephen Portnoy has new information today on an American reporter held in Russia.
A judge in Moscow granted a request by Russia's security service to keep reporter Evan Gershkovich in pretrial detention for another 3 months. Here in Washington, the White House urged his immediate release. Gershkovich was arrested in March and charged with espionage. The Biden administration and the Wall Street Journal insist the reporter was working for the paper's readers, not the U.S. government.
Russia today says it repelled an attack in its territory that it initially blamed on Ukraine. Jim Moss of the BBC tells us.
The Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov insists that Ukrainians are responsible, but he's now said they may be ethnic Russians. And that marks a major concession.
After a sweeping probe, the state attorney general in Illinois says investigators found that 451 Catholic clergy sexually abused nearly 2,000 children since 1950. That's far more than the 103 the church had named earlier. Citing mental health concerns, the nation's top doctor wants action to help young people, as we hear from CBS's Jim Krasula.
U.S. Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy is warning there's not enough evidence to show that social media is safe for young people. He's calling on tech companies and parents to, quote, take immediate action to protect kids.
The NFL has tinkered again with the kickoff return in a nod to player safety, league owners voting for a one-year trial of an enhanced touchback rule that will give the receiving team the ball at its own 25-yard line with a fair catch of a kickoff anywhere behind that line. Wall Street, the Dow's down 53. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media, broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and a bipartisan group of lawmakers have introduced the Farmers First Act of 2023, which expands access to mental health services for farming communities. The measure reauthorizes a nationwide program connecting farmers, ranchers, and agricultural workers with mental health assistance programs and resources. It also increases available funding for the network to $15 million per fiscal year through 2028. The suicide rate for farmers is 3.5 times higher than the general population. After 86 years, the final graduates of Cardinal Stritch University received their diplomas on Sunday. The school announced in April it was closing because of financial difficulties. Enrollment at the school dropped from 5,800 students in fall of 2010 to less than 1,500 in the fall of 2021. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Crivello's Camera Center help you start your family photo album by turning your digital images into gorgeous 4x6-inch prints on 2 for Tuesday.
Buy one print, get the second free, up to 100 prints.
In-store only at 181st and Blue Mound.
The four most dreaded words.
My computer is down.
Oh boy, that bites. Remain sane. PC It Back Together will fix the pain. Rated number one PC doctor in Southeast Wisconsin. Great service, great rates, and fast service with no trip charge. Experts with PCs, laptops, network service. servers, protection, backups, and can even help you remotely. Click PCAtBack.com or call us at 262-706-3235. That's 262-706-3235. Remain sane. We fix the pain.
Every family has one. The Smother.
Holy why!
Hi, Erica.
This is my daughter. I baked her in my tummy.
The Goldbergs every weeknight.
Weeknights at 5 and 5:30 on My24.
With a house full of women, it's every man for himself.
What is it about hanging bras in the bathroom like Christmas ornaments? If I don't hang my underwear in the bathroom, that would be terrifying.
Tim Allen is the last man standing.
Weeknights at 6 and 6:30 on My24.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP...
Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
You need some whoop 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 boing.
Absolutely.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
So leave it to Wisconsin to try to find a way to use a cheese product to make eco-friendly plastic. But that is exactly what is happening at the Center for Dairy Research. They want to convert whey into chemicals that can be used to make plastics and other consumer products. And here to tell us more about that research and what that even goes into thinking that this is possible is Dr. John Lucey, who is the director of the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Center for Dairy Research. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lucey.
Very happy to be here. Thank you.
So this was quite the headline when I first read it of like, every time I hear whey, all I can think of is Little Miss Muffet sat on her tuffet eating curds and whey. And so remind us, what is whey?
So yes, if you go back to Little Miss Muffet, it was the curds were the cheesy part of it and the whey was the liquid part of it. For a long time, we just thought it was water. But actually, there is some lactose or some sugar in it and a little bit of protein. Not a lot of protein, but a little bit of protein. And starting probably about in the 1970s and 1980s, people figured out how to filter out that whey protein and concentrate it and dry it. And now you can go into a lot of stores and you'll see big tubs and cans full of whey protein that people use for shakes and other kind of things. And people like it for bodybuilding or exercises or athletes and so on. But that leaves the remaining part is the water and the sugar, which is lactose primarily. And that's what we're targeting. Most people will take out the protein and use it for, you know, this whey protein powder products and sell that. That's actually turned into from nothing into a multi-billion dollar business for the dairy industry of getting the protein out. But the problem is what to do with all the rest of the stuff.
Yeah. So when making cheese, how much is there left over? I mean, I guess in the first bulk of just the whey period, but then even with what you said, with the lactose and the sugar and the water, like how much are we talking about as far as like volume that these cheesemakers are having to deal with to figure out what to do with?
Yeah. So about 90% of the volume ends up in the whey. Only about 10% of the mass of the milk will end up in cheese. Because
really?
it's just the main solids part that ends up there, but 90% of it is going to end up as this liquid whey that's mostly water, as I say, a little bit of lactose and a little bit of protein. So that's a lot of volume. So if you round up numbers, and we here in Wisconsin produce 30 billion pounds, give or take, of milk a year, that's somewhere in the region of 27 billion pounds of liquid whey we produce every year. So the numbers are mind-boggling, you know?
So we're practically drowning in whey.
Yes, we have a lot of whey. But the good thing about it is mostly water.
Yeah.
The vast majority of the things in it are water. So the question a plant is faced is, okay, this is mostly water, but what do I do with it? It's mostly water. What do I do? I could try and dry it and make a powder out of it so the water goes away, but that's an expensive business. You need a lot of heat and energy to dry all of that water, and all you're making at the end of it is lactose, which is, you know, unless you make very high-end lactose, which goes into like tablets and pharmaceutical uses, you might make money out of that. Most of the time, you won't make a lot of money out of that kind of thing. It that kind of dried, what we call permeate, because we've taken off the protein, that stuff is usually used for animal feeding pigs and animals and things like that, you know?
So I guess to get to the main reason we're bringing you on is, what was it about the compounds of whey and this leftover water and lactose that made you think, huh, oh, maybe we can turn this into plastic? Like, how are those two things related?
It seems very strange to you, but actually, as a chemist and as people here in campus, my partners and collaborators, we look at this as chemistry or microbiology problem. We don't look at it as kind of like a big issue. What I mean by that is that the lactose is a sugar, and in microbial worlds, it can be fermented. You think about fermenting products into beer or whiskey. Yeah. There are actually plants here in the U.S. and overseas that take cheese whey and use yeast to ferment it into alcohol. There are plants that are making whiskey out of this, because then they age that alcohol in the cask and the wood casks, etc. And there are people who made their plants make some of these sanitizer compounds because it's alcohol during the height of the coronavirus things. They said, oh my God, yeah. Everybody was short of getting sanitizers and waiting months for stuff and things. They said, well, it's alcohol. We can produce that. So that is one that has been done way into alcohol, has been done since the 1970s.
Huh.
So it's a fermentation. You're taking the sugar, the lactose, and you're making alcohol. Just like you would make beer alcohol or other kind of alcohol, you take sugar and you have a bug or a yeast or a bacteria to do it. So that is kind of, for us, is an example. What else could we ferment it into? Why does it have to be alcohol? Could it be something else? So that brought, you know, researchers here on this campus that I work with and said, what about plastics? You know, so we were talking about plastics as it's up here. 99, give or take, percent of plastics today are made from fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everybody's talking at the moment about, you know, electrifying cars and getting rid of cars and no more gas and so on as a long-term kind of goal. But you'll still be left with the problem of how to replace fossil fuels for other things that it does. And one of the other core things it does is it makes chemicals for the industry. So the vast majority of chemicals that are used in our everyday life, from everything in our cars to in our houses, in our homes, our spoons, all of that stuff, and cups and plastics, they're all primarily made from fossil fuels. So when it goes into those big refineries that we talk about, and we focus, you know, as a consumer, it's making gasoline to run cars. Yes.
Yeah.
But they're making a whole bunch of chemicals at the same time that go into feed like the plastic industry and the chemical industry. So when we thought about that, we said we need to find a way to make plastics or chemicals from renewable sources.
Mm-hmm.
We can't rely on fossil fuels indefinitely. How can we do that? And what bugs would we need to do it? How we would engineer the bugs to make what we want, basically? And then how would those processes work? So that's kind of, you know, from chemists and from microbiologists here on campus, that's the kind of way we think about things. You know, how can we make this work?
Our guest is Dr. John Lucy, who is the director of the University of Wisconsin-Madison's Center for Dairy Research, and talking about their efforts to turn whey into plastics, which I just think that's so cool.
And so what has progress looked like so far? Like, how have you successfully made adhesives or plastics or something? Or like, where are you in the process of researching this?
So I want to give a shout out to a couple of my colleagues here on campus. So over in our bacteriology department, there's Erica Majunder, and she's taking actually acid whey, which is like when we eat Greek yogurt, You know, we go to the store, we buy Greek yogurt, hugely popular now. You know, for me as a food scientist, what the key step in making Greek yogurt rather than regular yogurt is they actually remove some of the water to make it higher in protein. We call it concentration. That produces another type of whey. We call it acid whey because it's a cultured product, like a yogurt. It's a little bit different from the regular cheese whey. She has been using that whey, that acid whey, this, and generating it into polymers that are basically they're polyesters. So when you think about polyesters, you know, they came about middle of last century, and those were the things that made nylons and tights and all kinds of other things in everyday use. But they came from the start of the chemical fossil fuel industry. But if we can start to make things that are like polyesters, now you're talking about polymers, you're talking about things that can build structures if you do them in different ways. And she's looking at those as a starting compounds to make bioplastics. She has engineered her bugs. And all we're doing right now with her and other studies is optimizing, improving, increasing the yields, and so on. There are other colleagues here on campus that are making pure lactic acid. So when we think about, you know, dairy fermentations making like yogurt, the actual bacteria already produce lactic acid. So it's not like they're asked to do something weird. We might, there are actually a couple of forms of lactic acid, so we might ask them to make only one type, for example. We call it isomers, but basically one structure. That lactic acid can be stuck together into what we call polylactic acid, and it can make clear plastics. The thing we're going after here, and that's been done.
That's been done, okay.
That's been done. The thing we're going after here is, can it compete with the existing processes? Because at some time, someone's going to make a money decision here, you know?
Yeah.
I can buy this from a fossil fuel and it's cheaper than I can make it from this process. Then nobody's going to build the plants to start making this. So right now, a lot of the research work is, yes, you know, you asked me, can it be done? The answer is a big yes, it can be done. The second question is probably more important is, can we do it in a way that's cost competitive to the existing processes?
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of the scientists are working right now is, can I improve it? Can I make them make more of it? Can I, you know, get rid of things that they shouldn't do and so on? Where actually my group doesn't do any of those things. My group is more interested in the next step. The next step is after they do these fermentations, how did they get out the lactic acid from all the other stuff? Because there's bacteria in it, there's maybe some proteins, there's some salt. If we're to sell this and have a chemical company check out the fossil fuel stuff and say, tomorrow I'm going to buy a truckload of your bio-based chemical rather than the fossil fuel chemical, they'll need it to be exactly like it was before. You know, they'll need it to be the same quality and purity. So my group is actively working on separating out and purifying it out, because if we can't do that, the whole thing will fall apart. It won't, you know, we'll be able to do it, but it won't be competitive.
Absolutely. Well, this is absolutely fascinating, Dr. Lucy. I can't wait to see as it grows and the genius behind it is awesome. So thank you so much for spending time with us today.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll have some more Ask Goes Wisconsin. Stick around.
But Pop, you don't even have a hit though. Oh,
this is breaking my heart. Just tell them what they want, yo.
We know you want to put us in your mouth and chew, don't you? We know you do. We know you want to put us in your mouth, chew. We know you do. We know you want to put us in your mouth, chew. We know you do.
All familiar with the three what's. What is it? What can it do for me? And what does it cost? At Country Financial, we can help you find the answers with insurance coverage to help protect what's most important to you, all at a price you can afford. So while you're juggling work and kids while trying to keep an eye on your future, we'll make sure we're one of the first ones there when you need us most. What should you do next? Call Matthew Holbrook, your Country Financial representative, at 414-332-2137 and chat about your insurance needs today. 414-332-2137.
Hey, Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of Village Hearth buns on hand. Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best. And with several varieties to choose from, including unsliced old-fashioned, classic white or wheat, country potato, and mini sliders, the bakers of Village Hearth have the buns your family will love. Village Hearth buns, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
You were supposed to get a colon cancer screening, but stuff came up.
We did have to pick up the twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole. Over on.
If you are 45 and older, don't let stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then,
here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lots of sunshine this afternoon with highs around 84. Southerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies again tonight. Lows dip down to about 52. High temperatures reach up to 59. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Clear skies Thursday with highs around 61. 68 Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 75 degrees.
Cheese parody song have you found now?
It's called This Is Cheese, and it's This Is Me from Greatest Showman.
Yeah, oh no, I recognize the song. I just did, the lyrics are new.
I found it this morning. I was so excited. It's like Dr. Lucy's gonna be here, and what could be better than songs about cheese?
That is I love that song. Actually, I saw a video last night of the original This Is Me from The Greatest Showman. Love that song.
Yeah.
Still, if I lip sync hard enough, I will cry starting to perform that song.
It's very emotional. It is.
I saw an incredible, I think it was TikTok, of a drag queen. The drag queen's name, Meatball.
Okay.
Big, looks like a big, sizable person. And they dressed up as George Santos and performed this song, and by the end of the song had ripped off the blazer and ripped off the sweater with the white collar shirt and his little uniform that he always wears.
Yes.
And ripped off his glasses, and underneath was wearing the exact replica of George Santos's drag queen costume. And just belting, well, lip syncing, but pretending to belt out, This Is Me. And I was like, oh God, is that genius?
That's hilarious.
It was so good.
That's great.
Yeah, because, you know, he's just a lost soul trying to break out and find whoever he actually is, which none of us know.
He's done everything already. There's nothing left for him to do.
Yeah. Oh, man, except go to jail.
Well, that might be coming. We'll
except
see.
Go to
we'll,
prison.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that.
Anyways, so talking about cheese, as we're on the topic of cheese, have you gone to the Cheese Curd Festival up in Ellsworth?
Never.
Never.
And it calls to me.
It looks awesome. So it's not close. It's like 4 hours away from us. But on June 23rd and 24th, Ellsworth, Wisconsin, 6,000 pounds of cheese curds. And there's 30 different craft beers, hard ciders, local wines, over 20 cheese curd food dishes, live music, tasting and samples. And there's also a classic car show. So this is coming up about exactly a month from today. But big shout out for the Ellsworth Cheese Curd Festival. They just got named number 10 out of the 10 best specialty food festivals in the U.S.
More good news for Wisconsin. This has been this is great.
This is great. USA Today named it the 10 best specialty food festivals in the U.S. And it came in as number 10. So now even more reason to go next month.
Another thing on our road trip bucket list. I would love to be just to go cheese curd to cheese curd.
And to do the taste test.
Yeah.
See, for me, the cheese curd, it comes down, like the fried cheese curd, it comes down to the batter used for the what's fried in.
Okay.
I like the lighter, crunchier batter. And then when it comes to the fresh cheese curds, it's really just the squeakiness, right? Isn't that the criteria, like the official criteria for judges?
Does flavor play any role in any of this?
Certainly. Yes.
Because for me, it's more about what kind of cheese is in the middle of the cheese curd.
What is your preference?
It's got to be sharp cheddar. It can't be mozzarella because it's too bland.
But then it's basically a mozzarella stick anyways.
Right.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's a rolled up mozzarella stick.
But also the other specialty food festivals that were on this list is Pizza City Fest in Chicago, Illinois. Carne Asada Fest in Dallas, Texas.
What does that involve? Is that all meat?
The Carne Asada Fest in Dallas started as a way to introduce a wider audience to authentic Latin food in an experimental manner. Carne Asada is marinated grilled beef, usually chuck steak, typically served in thin strips, sometimes as a filling for tacos or burritos. Come hungry and feast to the sound of live music.
That sounds delicious.
Vermont has a cheesemakers festival. Then the Italian Market Festival in Philadelphia, the Waikiki Spam Jam in Honolulu.
What a reason to go to Hawaii. Why not?
Let's go eat some spam. That's the best thing we can do in Hawaii is go to eat spam. I don't know what else we would do there.
My friend's husband loves spam. He is a spam connoisseur.
Is there differences between? Oh. Is there different types of spam?
Oh, yes. You can get all different kinds of flavored spam. In fact, one year for his birthday, I got him a sample platter.
Oh.
Of different spams.
So is it flavor? Because it's all the same meat,
but
right?
Some are hotter. Some can be a little sweeter.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. There's far more spam. Everyone dumps on spam, but it's been around for a long time. And people who love it really love it.
I mean, I imagine if you eat any other kind of canned food, like canned tuna or canned chicken or any of those things, like what's the difference? As long as you don't mind your food coming out of the can and being preserved,
right?
Like, who cares?
Hey, we grew up on spam.
Yeah, there you go. A Kauai Poke Fest. That seemed a little bit more my speed, if I'm going to be totally honest. That's also in Kauai, Hawaii.
Okay.
And then Maine Lobster Festival. I would go to that.
Yeah.
I've never been to Maine. I would love to go to Maine.
I would love to go to Maine. Also, never been there. Not a lobster person myself, but I'm a big butter fan.
Big butter. Okay.
Big butter fan.
Number two is the Windy City Smokeout in Chicago, which is easy for us to get to. And number one, Picklesburg. Picklesburg. That's what it's called in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Picklesburg bills itself as the destination for all things pickled. For one weekend each July, Pittsburgh's Roberto Clemente Bridge transforms into Picklesburg, complete with a giant flying Heinz pickle balloon. Attendees can expect an assortment of foods and cocktails that feature pickled ingredients, as well as live demos and pickle merchandise. There you go. All right. When we come back, what's your best curb find? This is As Goes Wisconsin. Curb find. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Curb find. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Sometimes the truth hurts, but in a good way.
That's all you had to say.
This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. A 19-year-old facing serious charges for crashing a U-Haul truck into security barriers near the White House. CBS's Anne-Marie Green reports.
Now, the motive for the crash remains under investigation. The Secret Service says the crash may have been intentional.
The driver apparently had a Nazi flag with him. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy is sounding the alarm on social media for kids. CBS's Jim Krasula.
He says young people's use of social media is what he calls near universal, but its true impact is not fully understood.
The White House and House Republicans are still trying to reach a deal on the debt ceiling. CBS's Nicole Killian is on Capitol Hill and says House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is watching the calendar.
He's going to continue to talk to President Biden. He has encouraged the negotiators to continue talking in the hopes that they can craft something. I mean, he said it is really critical that they try to get a deal this week in order to meet that timetable.
Congress has to pass something soon to avoid the nation's default. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Continue the conversation online. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook and on Twitter.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. The state Senate holds its first hearing on the shared revenue overhaul bill today. Lawmakers want to use 20% of the state sales tax income to send more money to local governments. But Republicans disagree on how to raise sales taxes in Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. A study shows the Brewer Stadium has had more than a $2.5 billion impact on Wisconsin's economy. That's why a coalition is working to convince lawmakers to budget millions for upkeep. The coalition's Tracy Johnson says that money ends up all over Wisconsin.
That benefits the entire state. So the activity might be right here in southeastern Wisconsin, but the benefit is felt statewide.
Johnson on Newsmakers on the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network. In sports, the Astros bullied the Brewers last night 12-2, same two teams tonight, and Green Bay will host the 2025 NFL Draft. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
As a veteran of our country's armed services, you may be experiencing hardships, such as the inability to pay rent, utilities, or receive other life-sustaining services. And once again, you're called upon by family to serve and protect. We want you to know we are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's not easy to ask for a hand up, but we are clear in our mission. No Wisconsin veteran should ever have to face homelessness or lose heat, power, or water again. Apply today by calling 833-WIS-VRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Visit VRAPWI.com.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources.
Hi guys, this is me finding an $8,000 couch in the middle of the street. Here's a quick story time. It was pouring raining and I was walking home and I saw this couch in the middle of the street and I called my dad begging him to come pick it up because I couldn't just leave that couch there. He told me no, it was not possible. But then he surprised me and showed me that he did pick up the couch and he had it in his work office. But the couch was very dirty, so he said we had to clean it. So we got all the things we needed to clean it, some soap, water, a vacuum. And that's my sister using the little machine thing. And I was very interested in how that worked because I think she was doing it wrong.
Which just, I just think that's the funniest part of that whole video.
She's like, well, I don't think she was using it right. But that is a video that is causing a lot of debate as far as picking things off the side of the street and taking them home and whether or not that is, you know, good, because sometimes those things have bed bugs.
Yes.
So this is a content creator named Amanda Joy who posted a video that she found a for this couch, and it's a cute couch.
It is.
It's kind of, it's interesting looking. It's bright blue. It's called like a bubble couch. But she found it. She lives in New York, if you couldn't tell from her accent. And she found this couch. It's called it's a Roche Boboy. I probably didn't pronounce that correctly. Bubble sofa, which retails for $8,000.
Wow.
Though some folks in the in her comment section thought it was a knockoff based on the fabric. So I don't know what the fabric, the real ones get made off of, are like. But if that is real, first of all, can you imagine just dumping an $8,000 couch just on the side of the street in New York? Because you're
no.
just like, well, I got to move, so I can't take it with me. So it's just, here you go.
Unless, as you said, it was infested.
Yes.
Then I could see dumping an $8,000 couch on the sidewalk. Because you don't know with stuff like that.
You don't know, especially because New York is, I think it's like the like ground zero. Like New York is one of the worst places when it comes to bed bugs. Here we go. New York City ranks second in U.S. cities on Orkin's top 50 bed bug cities list.
Oh, congratulations.
Of course, that's a thing.
Who's number one?
That is a good question. I'll probably have to look that up. But, you know, if it's not infested, good for her. But it just got me thinking as far as, like, what is the best deal you ever gotten by either picking something, like you driving by and picking something off the side of the road that you were like, this is free. And someone was just trying to get rid of it. Like, another man's trash is your treasure. Or at a rummage sale or Goodwill, like, what is the best deal you've ever gotten out of getting something that someone threw away, pretty much? 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. What is the best treasure you've made out of someone else's trash? Do you have anything that comes to mind, Jane?
I don't remember ever picking anything up off the curb. But, you know, in college and right out of college, my furniture was milk crates and boards and things yeah. like that. So that was it was pretty bare bones that way. I love rummage sales and I love, you know, secondhand stores and things like that. But I don't remember ever picking up something that had been discarded, although we've gotten rid of things that way. We put a couple dressers out that just didn't fit anymore or were just taking up too much room. So, yeah, we've done that. And 2 days, boy, it's gone. Another good way, if you have things to get rid of that are in good shape, is Purple Heart. Purple Heart's wonderful. And they will actually come and pick it up for you and take it away for you. But it does have to be in decent shape and certainly not bed bug infested.
Yeah. Well, that's also how the Habitat Restore works as far as being
right.
able to donate good things here. And that, I mean, for them, talk about a story that someone donated
yes.
something they may or may not have known they had. What was the art
prints.
That they donated that then got auctioned off for $88,000?
It was a wonderful thing. And what was really great about that story is that they contacted the people who donated it to make sure that they knew. And then actually even offered them to take it back if they wanted. And they said, no, you keep it, you know, I'll get it auctioned off. And all that money's going to Habitat programs. It was really a wonderful thing.
And so I'm trying to think as far as the best deal I've gotten as far as something that was, you know, donated or, you know, discarded on the side of the street that we picked up or I picked up that I ended up using for a long time. Certainly one was a record player. So this is when I was living in New York and starting comedy stuff. And so one of the sketches we filmed and we made a series of them was a joke about MasterClass. So you know what MasterClass is?
I do.
So it's like that it's now worth like $1 billion, whatever. But it's like Martin Scorsese teaches you how to make movies or Serena Williams teaches you how to play tennis, which I still don't understand how that works because tennis is a very physical thing that feels like you need an actual coach in person, but whatever. But you know what I mean? So like all of these different, like Jeff Goldblum, actually that was the one we made a joke out of. So basically we had a bunch of friends who threw where we took acting class and sketch comedy and stuff like that, people who were really good at impressions. And so we did a series of master classes with different people playing different characters like Jeff Goldblum and Bernadette Peters and all this stuff. And so we used at the time I was moving out of my apartment. So we had like a blank apartment to use as the set.
Okay.
We were just making this sketch for free.
Sure.
And on the side of the road, we found, like, to use as a background, like, academic looking set, a kind of wicker wood record player. And it turned out that it worked.
Cool.
Someone had just left it on the side of the road. And we ended up, I think we kept that until we moved. And, but like, it was a perfectly working record player. And it looked nice. And someone just was like, well, I don't need this anymore.
It sounds
and
really so, unique, too.
It was pretty unique. And so I'll find the, maybe I'll put that in the show notes for the day. First off, I'll find the sketches themselves. And so you can also, and then you can also see the set in the record player that was in the background. But so that was something we picked up for free that ended up getting a fair amount of use. And I don't even think we had to replace the needle or anything.
Wow.
I think it was just working. And so, but yeah, I thought it would be interesting as far as the different, I don't know, because people, I feel like when we leave stuff out of the, although Mike's pretty good. Mike will be like, oh, we're, he'll post it and then some will come and pick it up versus just
putting it out there,
leaving it out there. Because it is, you think about how to, like, I think about this now with mattresses, because like technically, legally, you can't sell your mattress anymore, right? So
no.
Like, what do you do with mattresses now?
You have to take them to the dump. And that's
it?
I, as far as I know, because as you said, you can't resell them. And unfortunately, at least in one neighborhood in Milwaukee within the last couple of years, this was a big problem. This woman lived on a dead-end street that had some undeveloped area across the street from her, and people were using that as the neighborhood dump and throwing mattresses and tires and all those kinds of things. And it wasn't until I believe it was Channel 12 that investigated that the city finally did something about it. Because and you might even have to pay in order to get rid of your mattress.
Which just doesn't that just feel so wasteful?
It does. But there there have to be health concerns, isn't that?
I understand that there's health concerns, but I mean, it feels like there should be something as far as, is there no way to clean them or like make sure like to like check them and make sure like, yeah, this one's fine for reuse versus, oh, like we're moving and we don't want to move our big ass mattress from here to there. So like your only option becomes to just throw it out. And it's the same thing kind of with a couch, whether it's a $2,000 couch or an $8,000 couch. Like your only option is just kind of like leave things there and hope that someone else gets use out of it. But the mattress thing feels really wasteful to me.
Well, and you would also think that there must be some way to recycle some of those materials. I mean, there are metal springs in them and maybe not the fabric so much, again, because of those potential health problems. But what about the springs and what about other things that could be repurposed somehow?
Yeah. I have no idea, but I'm trying to think if there's other, we're asking you, if you're just joining us, on what is the best deal you've ever found, either by picking something off the side of the road or at a rummage sale or at a, you know, Goodwill or a Restore. I know Mike's always on the lookout for sports cards.
I was going to say cards. Sure.
As far as being able to see someone who didn't know what they had. And I think collectibles in general work like that, as far as being able to, you have the eye to know what you're looking for versus the person who's like, I don't know, I just need this out of my house ASAP.
I mean, even some old costume jewelry from the 40s and 50s can be really valuable, but you have to know what you're looking for.
Like actual, like they'll be actual gems.
No,
because I think of,
but no, it's still costume jewelry. But the crystals were better quality crystals. The metals they used might have been better metals. And again, if you have the right eye for it and you know what you're looking for, I'm also curious what people have put out that they thought no one would take and they ended up taking it.
Oh, 844-967-2789,
844-96-PARTY. What did you leave outside that you needed to get rid of and you couldn't believe that someone actually scooped it up?
Trying to think of...
Because Wisconsinites, we're always looking for bargains, man.
Yeah. I will... what have we gotten rid of recently? We had a toilet. We had a broken toilet that sat out there for a while. That did not get picked up very quickly.
Well, good. Good. At least we have some standards.
Some standards. I'm like, oh, no, we don't.
We're
going to
pass
that.
On that. I'll pass on that.
I'm trying to think. Mike gave away a cooler, like a really big cooler recently. But I'm trying to think of like big ticket items of what did you get rid of and you just didn't even bother. I mean, it makes me think of the conversation we had a couple of weeks back with the no buy economy, mm-hmm. and the different Facebook groups that have popped up as far as, you know, kind of in lieu of throwing it out or just dumping it at a Goodwill, of being part of these Facebook groups where you can just be like, hey, does anybody need this? Or be watching for someone saying, does anybody have this? I certainly think I'm going to start using those because I found one that's in our neighborhood.
Oh, did you?
For like baby stuff.
Oh, that's great.
Right? As far as like, does anyone, and like also just turning it around and giving it back. Actually, speaking of gifting, or I guess lending is more the term in this use. My good friend, because I've just been not wanting to buy clothes that fit for
you,
for this kid, for me, for this baby, for this growing baby bump. And I, in general, I get overwhelmed with shopping, and like I talk myself out of things that look like that quality is higher, but it's more expensive. And it's like, do I really want to like justify spending more money on, you know, that? And I can just buy cheap, but then the Shein and the fast fashion and all, I just have a whole thing. Which is why I usually take Adderall when not pregnant, because this is how my brain works. And I had a good friend, shout out to my good friend Emily Starr, who had a baby last August, and she lent me all of her maternity clothes.
Oh, that's awesome.
And even though she's about 7 inches shorter than me, it actually fits.
Not any pants, but I'm assuming tops.
No, and she didn't have that many pants, but it's a lot of dresses since she was pregnant over the summer too.
Sure.
And so dresses, some biker shorts, some t-shirts and stuff like that. So it saved me from having to go buy stuff. But it was funny because she gave me just the whole box of stuff to take home to try on. And I'm trying it on and I'm asking Mike, like, which of the dresses he likes and doesn't like and blah, blah, blah. He goes, man, Emily's a much better dresser than you.
Ouch.
Like, she has a much better fashion sense than you do, because all this stuff's really cute. It's like, I just don't like shopping. I have a good fashion sense. Maybe not. Maybe I don't. All right. All right. We got to take another break, but we would love to hear, what is the best deal you ever found on the street curb, on at Goodwill, at a rummage sale? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll hear from you when we come back, and then we will wrap up today's show. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Summer. Treat yourself and find the watercraft you want at Action Boathouse Showroom, just south of 59 on 164 in Waukesha. Check out the fun and versatile Sea-Doo Switch with its powerful Rotex Gen engine. Action Boathouse Showroom also has a selection of luxury fishing boats or pontoon boats from 7 top USA manufacturers. The team at Action Boathouse Showroom is excited to help you launch into the sun this season and onto the lake. Action Boathouse Showroom, just north of 59 on 164 in Waukesha. The four most dreaded words. My computer is down. Oh boy, that bites. Remain sane. PC it back together. We'll fix the pain. Rated number one PC doctor in Southeast Wisconsin. Great service, great rates, and fast service with no trip charge. Experts with PCs, laptops, network servers, protection, backups, and can even help you remotely. Click PCitBack.com or call us at 262-706-3235. That's 262-706-3235. Remain sane. We fix the pain.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 84. This afternoon, under mainly sunny skies, winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear again tonight, lows dip down to about 52. Partly cloudy tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 59. Highs around 61 Thursday, under sunny skies, 68 Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are wrapping up today's show. We have a comment on the Facebook live stream from Brady about our topic of what is the best deal that you found for something that was sitting on the side of the road or a rummage sale or at a Goodwill. And he says, I have too many to pick.
Excellent.
But what is it about us Midwesterners that we love to brag about how cheap or on sale we got something for? I just had an apartment warming party last night, and I was so excited to share the deal I got on my couch and my coffee table.
Bravo, Brady. You are a true Wisconsinite. Absolutely. We do that because it's a victory.
Is that what it is?
Yes, it's a win. It's a victory. I got this incredible thing, and I got it for a deal. High five me. Yay.
You know, the other thing is also, I feel like, how long you've had it. Like, my dad, I think I get my not being a big shopper thing from my dad. My dad is not a big shopper.
Okay.
And
it was probably never fun for him. He's gigantic.
That as well. But the, you know, most of the things he owns, from his t-shirts to polos to windbreakers to even sometimes shoes, are things he's gotten at like golf tournaments or fundraisers or something. So truly, he, and like, if you compliment him on it, he'll tell you that he got it for free, and he will also tell you how long ago he got it and how long it's lasted to really drive home the point of what a good deal it was.
We love that. And maybe it, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, I think we have that same kind of attitude about, yay me. I beat the system, right? I didn't pay full price. I got this great thing. And certainly this does not happen all over the rest of the country, where they celebrate when you tell people you got something on sale.
Yeah. Certainly there's other parts where if you get like a designer bag, you want people to think that you paid full price for it as the status symbol.
You wouldn't get a $5,000 Hermes bag and say you got it for $150?
Or say that's a knockoff?
But imagine if you did. See, and I would, if I found a ridiculously overpriced handbag like an Hermes, which costs thousands and thousands of dollars, yes, and I got it for $150, I would never shut up bragging about that. Never. You would never shut me up. And I would go to New York. I would go to New York and just walk up and down the street and tell people, I got this for $150. Applaud me.
Yeah. No, and it is interesting of how regional that is, as far as the pride in how cheap you can be versus the pride in how much you let yourself be gouged for something.
See, and it's not, cheap is the wrong word. Thrifty.
Thrifty.
Clever. It's a good attribute. It's not because we're cheap, even though we are.
We're a little bit cheap.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, someone who is not worried about spending money, who, you know, we'll send our congratulations to, is billionaire entrepreneur Jeffrey Bezos is reportedly engaged to his girlfriend of 5 years.
Aww.
The Emmy Award-winning journalist.
And she's a pilot. And she's a pilot, too.
She's a pilot.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that she was, I knew what she looked like. I did not know that she was a journalist and a TV personality. And I actually looked up more about her background this morning. But it's said that he has popped the question in Cannes, France. I'm sure they were there for the Cannes Film Festival, which has been happening.
Naturalement.
On his brand new $500 million super yacht.
A half-a-billion-dollar boat.
A half-billion with a B dollar super yacht. Not a regular yacht, a super yacht. And it's named Koru. So two things you should know about Koru. It has a mermaid on its brow that resembles Lauren Sanchez.
Yeah, they have the same implants.
And it's accompanied by a butler yacht.
There's a what?
A butler yacht, which is a 246-foot vessel called Abania, I guess. Abania. So it's like there's the big yacht and then there's the baby yacht, although the baby yacht sounds like a big ass yacht anyways.
And so who stays on the baby yacht? Is it all the little people?
I don't think it's people. The people don't stay on the baby yacht. The Bania, I'm probably not pronouncing that right, carries toys like seaplanes, personal submarines, and sometimes helicopters.
Well, as one does.
So clearly it is a baby yacht, a butler yacht that is big enough and strong enough to have a helicopter, not just land on it, but I guess be stored on it. And so, yeah, you know, and I just have to throw it back to our story yesterday. White Gladys, have at it. The orcas.
Oh,
but the orcas. See if the orcas can sink that thing.
Well, see, and the orcas are going for sailboats. Now we have to try and direct them to a different type of sailing vessel.
I mean, if they really all worked together. As it seems like they are, right? They're teaching each other how to attack these boats. Maybe that's the script that we need to get written, is the troop of orcas that take down some bald multi-billionaire's super yacht. I would pay money to see that movie in the theater.
And isn't it, for people like us, I'm assuming, every yacht would kind of be super. I think totally. It's interesting that you have to label that mine is really super.
Well, there's categories. There's, you know, you have to have categories.
Apparently so. He's not going to brag about getting things on sale. That's for sure.
No, no. Who knows? He might brag about getting a company on sale.
Oh, there's that.
I got a great deal on this little company that I just gobbled up because I'm Amazon. All right. Well, on that note, that will do it for us today. Thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. Thank you for always being a part of the show. We appreciate you. And we'll be back tomorrow. Greg Bach will be here. And we'll have a super fun day for our hump day. But this has been As Goes Wisconsin. We'll see you tomorrow.
Camera Center help you start your family photo album by turning your digital images into gorgeous 4x6-inch prints on 2 for Tuesday. Buy one print, get the second free, up to 100 prints. In-store only at 181st and Blue Mound.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season.
From clipping your horse for competition season to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the story of a very special woman.